5 days after the devastating earthquake in Bam, Iran, survivors are facing the reality of the job ahead of them, the recovery of bodies, the feeding and sheltering of thousands of homeless people, and rebuilding their city. It's a daunting task that other cities have faced in the past. 15 years ago, 25,000 people died in an earthquake in the Armenian city of Spitak. Steve Anlian is still involved in the recovery from that natural disaster. He's a senior associate for the Urban Institute and director of the USAID Armenia Earthquake Zone Recovery Program. He's with us today from his home in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Neil, for having me.
You were in Armenia just after the earthquake that took 25,000 lives, roughly the same devastation that struck this past week in Iran. Can you tell us what it's like in those first few months afterwards?
Well, the damage was primarily in the city of Leninakan. Spitak is the epicenter, and that's the city that people hear about. The zone was a little bit broader than the bomb area in Iran, but Gyumri was a very large city, about 250,000 people. And when I arrived there a few months after the earthquake, the tents that were meant as temporary shelter were actually erected around the houses and around the buildings that had collapsed. And so it's taken on a very similar scene to what I've seen in the past few days in Bam, as opposed to, you know, setting up staging zones outside the city where they get the population out of harm's way. I think for the same reason as in Armenia, they want to keep people close to their loved ones who may be still pulled from the rubble, give them access to their personal belongings. And the very, you know, the following days are going to have implications on the total recovery. So the Iranian government, just like the Armenian government, will have to be faced with some pretty tough decisions.
Well, one reason you'd think that they would want to keep the people together is to have at least some sense of continuity for communities, neighborhoods.
Well, that's true. There's a support system. But what that does, it starts to dictate from day one, from an urban planning perspective, how the recovery is going to happen. You know, once those tents are in place and once people have moved some of their belongings or their loved ones to those tents, it's not that easy to get them out. And soon, as in Armenia, those tents will be supplanted by other temporary shelters, whether they're containers or whether they're other structures, makeshift and otherwise, brought in from other parts of the country or internationally. They have these, you know, ready containers that are brought in. And so once they sort of snuggle down in place, that really starts to dictate the recovery, and that's how the recovery will unfold. So, yes, from an emotional perspective, it makes sense to keep the people close to their community ties and their family support. But on the other hand, it's going to really impact the overall recovery in years to come.
25,000 lives lost is, I mean, we're still reeling from the 3,000 at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. It's difficult to comprehend. What does that do to the social fabric of a relatively small area?
Well, it changes things because entire workplaces have disappeared and entire schools disappeared. You know, the Armenia earthquake happened about 11:40 a.m. So the workday and the school day was in motion, as opposed to Iran, which happened in the wee hours of the morning between 5 and 6. So people were at their workplaces. It was a normal day. It was a nice, sunny, bright day. And all of a sudden, this happened. And people tended to run towards the places where they could find their loved ones. And those were schools and kindergartens and workplaces. And so the fabric, indeed, was interrupted. And, of course, in Armenia's case, the seismic tremor was followed by, you know, massive political and economic tremors with the collapse of the Soviet Union. So those factories, even if they could be rebuilt, you know, did not have the same markets they had before. So basically the whole system collapsed because of the volatility of Armenia at that time, Soviet Armenia.
Mm-hmm. We know how long ago it was when you say that the...
15 years.
Leninakan.
It was called Leninakan at that time. That was the name under the Soviet period starting in 1920. Before that, it was Alexandropol, and now it's back to the old Armenian name, which is Gyumri.
We're speaking with Steve Anlian of the Armenia Earthquake Zone Recovery Program of USAID. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. In terms of the lives lost, I mean, extended families must have been completely disrupted. You know, where do you find now child care and health care?
Well, what's happened, Neil, in the ensuing years where a lot of these things now are being put back into place, but interestingly, only in the last 3 or 4 years. So in Armenia's case, if you recall, it was the Soviet period. The images on the TV bring me back to 15 years ago, December 7th, 88. And if you recall, President Gorbachev was in New York at the time addressing the United Nations with President Reagan and President-elect George Bush, and he left quickly and went back to the Soviet Union and went down to Armenia. And in the streets there, pictures of him promising that this would be recovered in the two-year period. It reminds me of seeing the President Khatami of Iran articulating the same thing in Bonn, that this will be rebuilt in 2 years. And what happened? The Soviets decided to build new cities adjacent to the old cities. And they pretty much lost steam after 2 years when the Soviet Union collapsed. Well, in 1998, I was recruited to return to Armenia, and I headed an international team that basically developed a whole new strategy to Armenia's recovery. Now, remember, this is 10 years after the earthquake. And through that process, we developed new solutions, alternatives to developing these new cities. And in the last 3 or 4 years, I can tell you, we're pretty much winding up this very long, sad chapter in Armenia's history, and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Has Armenia recovered, though?
Armenia is close to recovery. I think that in the next 2 years, we'll be able to sort of wrap it up and close the chapter and say that all of the displaced have been adequately housed or offered fair compensation for housing. It's very difficult because the situation has gotten very convoluted over 15 years. A five-year-old boy at the time of the earthquake now is an adult, probably with children of his own. And how do you deal with that? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to take care of the core need, and it's done primarily, interestingly, through relocating the displaced through a voucher program, a housing voucher program, to existing housing, either in the same community or other communities. And these are the types of things that, after any earthquake, I think authorities must look at. The tendency is to go right back and say, we're going to rebuild this.
Right.
And that's a mistake. I think they've got to step back and take a broader look at it.
Is there persistent trauma? I mean, this is a devastating event for a community. Psychologically, are there continuing problems after 15 years?
Yes, there are, Neil. You know, oftentimes I spend a lot of time in the earthquake zone in Gyumri, in Spitak, in Vanadzor. And, you know, talking to the people who were there, you know, invariably the question will come up, where were you on December 7th, 1988? And the stories are, you know, very dramatic. And, you know, they still long for their loved ones. They still commemorate in a large way on the 7th of December. I was just there for the 15th anniversary by going to the cemeteries. There's always some public ceremonies or commemorations. It's difficult. It takes a long time, I can tell you, and particularly the people who are still displaced, meaning they're still in these makeshift containers. They're still in what we call domiks, which means little house in Russian. And many children have just grown up knowing no other life than a post-earthquake disaster zone. That's what they think it's all about. They think this is as good as it gets. And what we're trying to do in Armenia is return them to modest but adequate housing that they knew under the Soviet times.
Steve Anlian, thanks very much for the perspective. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Neil.
When are you heading back to Armenia, by the way?
Heading back on January 10th.
Well, thank you very much for that perspective. Steve Anlian joins us from his home in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. He's director of the USAID's Armenia Earthquake Zone Recovery Program. And again, if you tune in later today to NPR News, you can get the latest on both the death count and the beginnings of recovery in Iran and see if any of these lessons are being applied. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.